Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's open our Bibles, Luke chapter 5, starting verse 17. Thank you for praying for us. Please do not stop. We really need your prayers. It's been very difficult. And we have to go back out in about a month for like a memorial. So it's just hard. It's really, really hard. So Luke chapter 5, little review from the last section, Jesus and the untouchable. You know, this one, he came and he reached out to Jesus, and he was full of leprosy, it says, but it says that he humbled himself before the Lord Jesus. And you know, that is a lesson I think we all need to learn, that the way up is down. It's always that way. You know, we need to humble ourselves before him. And the scripture says that he will lift us up. Peter quoted it. James quoted it from the book of Proverbs. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So in this particular case, Jesus touched him He wasn't someone that you would just want to go and touch. He was, again, he was covered with leprosy, full of leprosy, the word says. But Jesus touched him and he healed him. He said to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus did it in this particular case, but you know, we really have to ask the question too, is it always God's will to heal? In my experience, I've been a believer since 1976. It's coming up 50 years, right? And you know, God heals, but God doesn't always heal. God sometimes has a different plan, a different thing that he's doing in different people's lives. And we have to kind of leave that with him and trust in him. But Jesus said, you know, when he was praying, not my will, but your will be done. And so we always have to be submitted to what the Lord's will is. But I love verse 16 where it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He went by himself. He got by himself. It says that he would go aside. He went to these solitary places and desolate places where he would pray. And I talked about this last week a lot, is that this is really should be something that is part of our lives as well, where we have this place or this time that we have set aside, that we make it a priority. We make it actually a practice. It's something that we plan. And not just, well, you know, if it happens, it might happen. Jesus did it frequently, regularly. And I think we need to think about that too. We plan a lot of other things in our lives, but do we have this place, this time where we just open the Word? Even if it's 15 minutes in a day where we have a time where we set it apart and we open the Word and we pray and we talk to the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He sees you there. He knows you're there. So today we're moving on to another situation that takes place. The first one was the man with leprosy, and he brought himself to Jesus. This section now, this particular gentleman, he could not bring himself to Jesus. Others brought him to Jesus. The two main points in this passage are healing and forgiveness. And you know what? We need both. This particular man, he needed healing and he needed forgiveness, and you and I need both in our lives. Let me apologize for the heat today. We had to switch over to AC. Like, what is going on? Last week, heat. Today, AC. Is it any better yet? Or is it still hot? Matthew? Okay. Got to keep Matthew happy. You know, he might leave and go on some other trip again, you know, for a long time. And we just don't want that. So we all need both healing and forgiveness, but which one is more important? I guess it depends on what, you know, is going on in your life. You know, you're in this terrible, horrific, you know, physical situation. Well, you're going to say, well, healing is most important. And that's kind of, you know, I think where we are because we're, let's face it, we're human beings. We live in a body and we struggle with these things. Anyways, let's see what happens here in this particular passage. Chapter 5, verse 17. One day as he was teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and they were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. So Jesus was now teaching the teachers, right? But the question is, would they receive it? And what would keep them from receiving it? Jesus had a message, and it says that he was teaching them, but they were there, but would they receive it? And sometimes, you know, I think it's our pride, isn't it, that keeps us from receiving what God wants to tell us, what Jesus wants to say. And not only that, we're going to see as we go through the gospel here that they would not only not receive, but they would begin to oppose what Jesus had to say and fight against him. Interesting, earlier when Jesus was just a boy, he was you know, among them teaching as well. How old was he? Anybody remember? 12 years old. And he was sitting in there. It says in Luke chapter 2, we looked at this already. It says when, you know, they couldn't find Jesus, right? The family, they were traveling back home. They couldn't find him. They went back to Jerusalem. They found him after 3 days. He was in the temple courts. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Now we see he's grown up. He's teaching them. He's teaching them. Matthew chapter 3 says that he had a time with some of these teachers, though. He saw them coming, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and he was baptizing at the time. And this is what he said to them, "You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with the repentance." You know, he wasn't afraid to confront their attitude that they were just rejecting what Jesus had to say. And these were the spiritual leaders, right? The spiritual teachers. And you and I can be like that too, where we're fighting against Jesus, kicking against what he's doing in our own lives. I pray that wouldn't happen. We see here in this case, the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick, and you wonder about that. We read the previous verse 16. Jesus was out there by himself praying, and now we see here that the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. Interesting. Is it something that follows after prayer in this relationship that we have with God? Now, is it always like that? I don't know, it kind of points it out here like there's something special going on in that particular time and place. But again, as I've already said, God's will be done, and we need to always submit ourselves and what God wants to do in our lives. Some of you today need healing. All of us today need forgiveness. There's a distinction there. So verse 18, it says there that some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. So, as I said, the man with leprosy, he came to Jesus himself, and he humbled himself in that. But this particular guy now, he couldn't do anything. He was paralyzed. But some men, and I would reckon they were friends of his, maybe family members of his. They said, we're going to take you to Jesus. We're going to get you there. And they tried to take him into the house of the lame for Jesus, but they couldn't get in. The crowd was too big. Now, this particular guy could not bring himself. He had to be helped by others. What about people around us? What about some of our friends, some of our family? They just don't understand. They don't know. So what is our role for those who aren't able? To bring them to Jesus. You say, well, how am I going to do that? You're going to pick them up and physically carry them into the place where Jesus is at, bring them into the church. Now, you're coming whether you want to go or not. No, but there is, again, the power is in prayer. That's what Jesus shows us by his own example here. There may be times when we want to encourage somebody to physically to do something and bring them to Jesus. Let me pray. Can I pray for you right now? That's a physical thing. But I believe there's people around us that we need to be praying for on a regular, continuous basis. How many of you heard of a guy named George Mueller? Some of you heard of him. George Mueller was a man in the United Kingdom who ran what? An orphanage, right. He ran an orphanage, had a bunch of kids there, hundreds of kids, and he's just a man of faith, and that was his main role, to run this orphanage, and they would pray, and he wouldn't even let people know what the needs were. They just prayed. And he believed God would provide. And over again, God provided exactly what they needed. But this man, George Mueller, he had 5 specific friends that he prayed for on a daily basis. For over 50 years. 5 friends that he prayed for specifically for 50 years. Now, the first one of them, you know, they all became believers. The first one was after 18 months of praying for him. 18 months. The second one, 5 more years later. But he kept praying. He didn't stop praying for them. The third one, it was another 6 years later. So now we're talking, what, 11, 12 and a half years before the third one is now become a believer. But he never stopped praying for these specific friends. The last two, after he died, but they came to Jesus. They became believers. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 18, we'll get there, I don't know when, someday. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. I think, and you know, I took this to heart, and I have a list of a certain number of people that I pray for. You can't pray for, you know, I pray for other people occasionally, but this certain number of people, and I, because of what I read about George Mueller, and I think it's a good idea, and I think you and I should think about that. Maybe just 5, maybe just 2 that you pray, I'm going to pray for this person, and not that you're telling everybody about it. It's between you and God. Is that a good idea? I think it's a great idea. How many of you have friends? How many have family that are not believers that are just so lost? They're just so lost. But you and I can make a difference by simply praying for them, interceding for them every day. Back to the man here, the paralyzed man, verse 19. It says, when they could not find a way to do this, to get him into the house, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof And they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Now, I'm sure the homeowner wasn't really that excited about this particular thing, right? I mean, they're up there on the roof now. They're tearing apart the roof. And I mean, I wouldn't be too excited about it. But they couldn't get in by the door, so they said, well, what can we do? They went up and said they weren't going to let anything stop them. How dedicated was that? Again, they cared about this particular man, these four guys. I read this one quote. It says, some friends of a paralyzed man were so sure that Jesus could heal him that they allowed no obstacles to stop them from bringing the man to him. These were true friends. They were serious. They were determined. They were not going to give up, no matter what. Pastor Chuck said, those are the kind of friends you need, to be surrounded by friends who believe. I say amen to that. Somebody who's going to pray for you. Like I said in the beginning, thank you for praying for us. I'm so thankful for that. Verse 20. When Jesus, this is interesting, what does it say? When Jesus what? Saw their faith. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven. He saw their faith. But can you see faith? Isn't faith just like this spiritual thing? Oh, I got faith. But it affects what you do, right? Your faith affects how you live, how you act, what kinds of things. These particular guys, these four, Jesus saw their faith because they were willing to do something, faith that can be seen. Jesus saw it. I wonder about you and I, you know, can the people around us see our faith? Or do we just... it's something that's so hidden that no one could ever see or even know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you have surrendered your life to Him. They have no way of knowing that. Or is it something that is so obvious that they say, wow, there's something different about that guy or that girl? That's a question, isn't it, for us to think about? Can people see that I am a follower of Jesus? So Jesus speaks to the man and he said those words, friend, your sins are forgiven. But I thought his problem was paralysis. I thought that was his issue. His problem was that he's paralyzed. He can't do anything with his body. It's not working. And these friends, they were looking, they were wanting to see Jesus heal this particular friend of theirs, right? That's what they wanted. But the first thing Jesus did was what? It says he forgave his sin. That's crazy. We get things mixed up. Well, what we think we want or what we think we need most is not really the thing we want or need most. Our greatest need is forgiveness. I have a quote here somewhere, but I think I lost it. I don't see it here. Our greatest need is forgiveness, truthfully. We need forgiveness more than we need a healing. We need forgiveness more than we need a new car, a new house, or, you know, a raise, or any of these other things that this life has to offer. John Corson said Jesus knew that the deepest needs people have are not physical and material, but eternal and spiritual. I remember where my quote is now. It's up here. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. That's our greatest need. Jesus knew it. Sometimes we don't understand it. I think we kind of know deep within us that that really is our deepest need, but we kind of think of so many other things and the things of this world crowd in, and we think that's the most important thing. That's the greatest need that I have. But Jesus pointed to this. You see, physical healing, the physical healing of these bodies, how long does that last? It's just temporary. Because you're still going to die should God not, return for us. You're still going to die. Something is going to happen. But forgiveness, spiritual healing, is eternal. David Guzik said this: Jesus knew what the man's real and greatest need was. What good was it if the man had two whole legs and walked right into hell? What good is it we're healing, our body is so perfect, our bank account is so perfect, all the stuff we have is so perfect, and yet we're on our way to being separated from God for eternity? What is the real need that we have in this life? It's to be forgiven of our sin. Because sin is what keeps us out of heaven. Matthew Henry, the old preacher and commentator, he said, sin is the foundation of all sickness, and the forgiveness of sin is the only foundation upon which a recovery from sickness can comfortably be built. Now, I want to add this, and not that this particular problem was caused by a specific sin. Sometimes that's the case, right? A specific sin will cause a specific illness. Smoking, for example, will cause lung cancer in many, many cases. I had a brother, my oldest brother, died at 31 from lung cancer, and he was a heavy smoker. But all the sickness and disease in this world are ultimately can be pointed back to sin. Before sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3, was there any sickness? Was there anything to be healed from? No. But when sin entered the world, it's broken. But Jesus forgives sin, and that's ultimately what he came to do at the cross. And you and I, we pray and we bring our needs, but we need his forgiveness first and foremost. Oh, it's not something maybe that you can see. You see, what's going to happen here in this particular case, they're going to get all over his case and everything, but Jesus goes on to heal him because to prove that he could also forgive, because they couldn't see the forgiveness. Verse 21, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were accusing Jesus of blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now see, is that a true statement? True question? It is. Who can forgive sins but God alone? In the book of Isaiah, it says, God says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. God is the one who forgives sin. But now they're accusing Jesus of speaking blasphemy because he is telling this man that his sin is forgiven. How can he do that? How could Jesus do that? If God is the one who forgives sins, how could Jesus possibly do that? Is it maybe obvious? Hello? We studied it back in John chapter 1. At the beginning of the study, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You could say that really loud, Bruce.
And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory,
I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? But they're fighting against this. They're calling him, a blasphemer by speaking those kinds of words at all. But Jesus was just speaking from who he was. Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is not just a good man who came and did good things and said cool stuff. Jesus was God in flesh. Came down to earth. Verse 22. Jesus knew what they were thinking. I don't know if I like that. Do you like that? He knows what you're thinking right now. You're thinking about your lunch. You're thinking about potluck. You're thinking about something else. Some problem that you have. Something you want. He knows what you're thinking. He knew what they were thinking. And he asked them, why are you thinking these things in your heart? You didn't have to ask him, what were you thinking? He already knew. But he said, why? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Why are you thinking these things? Why? What? Where are you? You know, what is your whole deal? What's easier to say? Now, is one of those things easier than the other? I think they're both impossible, right, for us. But for God, it's equally easy to heal or to forgive. It's one or the other he can do, but ultimately, the cost. Now, it's easier to say the first, your sins are forgiven, but you can't see the immediate results. But verse 24, it says this, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. So he was making an obvious point here. When he healed this man's body, it was proof that he also had the authority to forgive sin. He had the authority to forgive sin. Immediately, verse 25, it says, the man stood up in front of them, and he took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe, and they said, we have seen remarkable things today. We have seen remarkable things today. That's incredible. What they saw with they saw forgiveness and healing. They saw the power to forgive, the power to heal. And they said, we have seen remarkable things today. When someone's life is changed by Jesus Christ, that's a remarkable thing. But they saw it. They didn't just see the healing, though. They saw the fact that this guy's heart was changed. Forgiveness and healing. So let's just wrap this up now for ourselves. And what about our needs? What about our family and our friends' needs? Needs for healing, needs for strength, but needs for forgiveness and to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. That's huge. They brought this man to Jesus because they believed Jesus could do something. You know what? You and I, we can bring ourselves to Him like the leper did. But there are friends and family members that we need to bring them to Jesus. They don't understand. They don't know. They don't understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's God the Son. But they'll see, and they can see through you and through me. Healing and forgiveness is still available. It's available today, just like it was back then in that day for those around us. Maybe you're thinking about somebody. I hope you are. Maybe you just have one that you want to pray for. But pray for that one person every day. And don't stop. 50 years he prayed. George Mueller prayed. Jesus said it, pray and don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your son Jesus, Savior of the world. Father, we are sinners, and the sooner we recognize that and realize that, the sooner we come to you and say, forgive us and cleanse us and wash us and give us a new heart. Do a work within us that goes on into eternity. Father, some of us do have physical needs, and we bring them before you as well. That pray that you would touch and heal. We lay hands on people and pray for people that you would touch them and heal them, Lord. We know that everything we need, that we truly need, comes from you. Father, you know each person in this room. You know what we're thinking right now. You know what our needs are. You know where we're at with you. Maybe you're asking us why. Why are we thinking that? Why are we in that place? Jesus, we humble ourselves like the man with leprosy did. We lower ourselves before you, and we look up to you as the Savior of the world, the Lord. We give ourselves to you. Pray that you'd use us in these days, Lord. We don't know how much time we have left in this crazy, crazy world we live in. We don't know how much time we have left as individuals, Lord. How many days you have ordained for us. Pray that we could use that time to serve you and follow you. People around us could see Jesus, truly, truly see Jesus within us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing together, shall we?